I am glad to be here.
Yes.
And I'm glad for the 7-year-old bucks that are with me today. And if you want to draw me a picture, that would be awesome. So if you're stuck here and you were thinking you were going to Sunday school class here with me instead, then I welcome you. And I love pictures. So if you want to draw me a picture, I would like that. I have a tickle in my throat, so I'm probably going to that water bottle pretty often today. If I finish recording the plan, I am going to be with you the next 3 weeks, and we're going to spend, we're going to wrap up Judges 14 and dig into one of the high points of God's Word as we move into chapter 15 next week. So I am I'm thrilled to be with you, as always, and it's my joy to spend these moments in the Word together and see what the Lord has for us, and trust Him to encourage us as we dwell together. So let me read God's Word. In John 14, 25 through 31. Yeah, we'll get that later. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. For the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. I have just read to you from the most important book ever written, and it is my privilege to testify that every word of it is true. So, in this part of chapter 14, Jesus is revisiting some of the ideas that he has introduced already. So it's kind of a review day for us, and a very important review. I'm going to let you behind the veil a little bit when I'm working on a sermon. By the way, one of my things when I preach, one of my goals is that you will be able to read the Bible better from walking with me through this passage, okay? But that's always one of my goals, because it's God's Word and the Spirit has the power. My sermon is frail, but God's Word is powerful. So my sermon is never enough. But if my sermon helps all of us read God's Word better, then we make progress to the glory of God, okay? So when I'm working through a passage, I try to identify what's the theme of the passage, and then I look at an idea called what's the aim of the passage. And so the theme is, what is this about? And the aim is, why did the writer write it here, this way, right now? Okay, so when I look at what I just read to you, I believe the theme is that the departure of Jesus is not a surprise, but is the necessary path to the Father's will. Because that's what's on Jesus' heart. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows this is going to shake the world of his followers as they try to get a grip on what they're experiencing. So he's telling them before it happens. And then the aim, so why here, why now, and why for us? We need to remember and believe that Jesus provides the Spirit and peace and the promise of going so that he can return. Okay? So that's what we're looking at today. And I'm going to do something just a little weird. I'm going to work through it backwards. So bear with me, and if you're coloring, you can do something backwards. That would be okay with me. Or upside down, anything like that would be fine. When we think about where we've been, and we see these here, he is preparing a place, he will return, and he is the way. And there is a deep, deep unity between the Father and the Son. And he's going to include his people, that's us, in this amazing union. And God is including his people in the love that exists between the Father and the Son. All right, so let's jump into the end and work backwards a little bit. I'm in verse 28. You heard me say to you, I am going away and will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. So Jesus is reminding them, this is what you heard me say. It might have flown past you, but I want you to grab hold of it. I am going. And that sounds like a bad thing. But he says, I am going so that I will come to you. I'm going away and I will come to you. And then he tells them, if you loved me, you would have rejoiced. He's not cranky. He's not shaming them for not rejoicing. Is explaining to them, if you saw this with my eyes because you love me, this would be a cause of rejoicing. And why would that be? Because I am going to the Father, and for he is greater than I. So it is good for Jesus to be with his great Father. And it's good for us that Jesus be with his greater Father. Because both of those things cause joy for those who love him. The union of the Father and Son is again being emphasized here. This is important to Jesus. He wants us to get it. I am in union with the Father. And I think the reason he wants us to get that is because it is the foundation of our union with Jesus. So apart from his going through the cross, we can have no union with with Christ. But because he went, we have union with Jesus. Okay, and then we get to verse 29. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. So he's clarifying here. He says, I told you before it happens, because when it happens, I want you to believe. You see, when the thing happens that I told you is going to happen, even though it's scary, it's not a surprise because I told you. So you can remember that he is in control. And we get to believe. That's what he calls us to believe, because we remember he told us what was going to happen. And then in verse 30, he expands it. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. So not much time is left for talking, Jesus is saying. Still has some amazing words for us, but we're getting to the end. The time is short. And then he says, for the ruler of this world is coming. The ruler of this world is Satan, the enemy of our souls. And when we think about what happens on Good Friday and what happens on Easter Sunday, when we reflect on that, we realize that Satan believed he might win until he was utterly defeated on the cross and declared defeated in that glorious resurrection. But in these days that are coming, Thursday and Friday, because Jesus is going to the garden and he's going to be arrested and he's going to be abused and he's going to be put on the cross, the rule of the world will be at work. But then Jesus says, he has no claim on me. Satan has no claim on Jesus. By the way, remember this big idea we've been talking about, union with Jesus? If Satan has no claim on Jesus and you are in union with Jesus, Satan has no claim on you. That wasn't in my notes, but I think it's important. All right. So in saying this, Jesus is declaring that Satan and all evil is going to be defeated by Jesus. So, in light of that, Jesus says, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. And he says, rise, let us go from here. All right. So let's unpack the last part before we jump forward in the passage to see the other things Jesus is talking about. Jesus does everything that the Father commands, and he does this so the world will know that Jesus loves the Father. And the Father loves him. that he says, rise and leave. You know, probably they go outside, still in the city, to take a walk. And sometimes the best conversations happen in the context of a walk. So this has been a long sermon. I've spent 4 weeks on it, and I didn't even start at the beginning. Jesus, time to stand up. You've been sitting or reclining long enough. Let's go for a walk. Okay, so next week, we're going to look at the content of the way this teaching continues as they go for a walk, where Jesus explains some of the most important things that his followers, including you and including me, need to know and need to lean into regularly, if not daily, if not moment by moment. So that's what's to come. Hopefully I'll see you all here next week, and we can do that together. We might even take a walk. Probably not. Okay. So as we're working backwards, we'll move up to verse 27. And Jesus says, remember peace. Remember peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So Jesus, peace I leave, peace I give. And when we think about this, we have vertical peace, peace with God. Because of what Jesus is about to do, we have peace with God. And then we have horizontal peace. We have peace with one another because we are in a relationship together with Jesus, because we are in that union together, because you're in that union and I'm in that union. We have the opportunity for peace. And then he also gives us personal peace. Because if you think about it, conflict with our view of God, conflict with each other. A lot of our conflict is within our own soul. And that Jesus' peace is comprehensive. So vertical, horizontal, and personal or internal. All of those things are connected because the common tie is sin. And the way that peace is given is by sin being defeated. D.A. Carson said it this way. Sin alienates God from us, others from us, and alienates ourselves from ourselves. Vertical, horizontal, internal. In Jesus, you have peace in all of those ways. And you've heard me say this before, or maybe if this is the first time you've been in here with me, this is true if you're in Christ. But you might be here and not in Christ. You might be thinking, why am I here? I don't belong here. But I want to assure you, you belong here. If you don't yet know Jesus, I'm going to refer to you as a not yet believer. Because you are not necessarily excluded from anything the Bible declares. You just haven't received it yet. Okay? And what I want to point out today as we look at this, if you're here and you're not yet a believer, you need to realize that these blessings of peace, horizontal, vertical, internal, and the resulting joy that that peace brings are all available to all who believe. You see, therefore, to reject is to be excluded from the promise of blessing. But you don't need to be excluded, because if you trust Him, this will be given to you. And there are so many people here that would love to walk with you and help you experience that to the fullness. Jesus then clarifies, it's not like the world's peace. He's saying it is a peace from above, a peace discussed when we talked about the Spirit. And we'll visit that again. We saw it before, we'll visit it again. Okay, and then he expands and he says, therefore, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be afraid. Why? Because peace drives that away. Peace drives the troubled heart away. Peace drives the fear away. And we have a reason for our hearts to be troubled. Yes. Do we have a reason to be afraid? Yes. But all of that trouble and all of that fear comes in the context of the gospel, which means we experience it differently than the world experiences it, as the world relies only on the world's peace. So Jesus is saying, remember who I am, remember your future, and don't be troubled. Remember who I am, remember your future, and do not be afraid. Whatever circumstances might bring, you are in union with me, Jesus says, and you are secure beyond your imagination. No matter what tomorrow brings. And we need that. We're going to pray at the end of the service about a scary situation with our brother. And I'm not going to tell you don't be scared. I'm going to tell you, you get to be scared in a different way than somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Because no matter what happens, there is security. Because eternity is real. And because Jesus loves us. And we all have that opportunity every day. All right. So now we're to the beginning. And so our next thing that we need to remember that he's leaving, so he's coming. We remember peace. And we're remembering now his teachings. The things that he taught while he was with them. And we have these things recorded. In verse 25, he says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. my teachings are important, he says, and I have taught them. And then he takes it a step further when he clarifies. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So that Helper is the Holy Spirit. That Helper is sent by the Father in the name of Jesus, and the Helper will teach all things. The Helper will remind us of all that Jesus said. So Jesus draws the veil back a little bit here, and he gives us a clearer, more in focus picture of what the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit will be like. Both in terms of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the activity of the Holy Spirit. And this is also true of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we see this in Ephesians 6, verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So, the Helper is with us, and the Helper uses the Word. So if we want to cooperate with the Spirit, if we want to know the Spirit, then we pick up the Word and we read it. And it builds our faith to extinguish those arrows. And it reminds us of our salvation to make us experience the security. That's the kind of things the sword does. It teaches us to pray, trusting our Father. And then, again, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, the writer declares, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And that internal peace that we alluded to, when we read the Word of God, it does surgery on us for our good and for our healing. God knows you better than you know you. God knows me much better than I know me. And in his Word, he takes that sword and he cuts. And he does the surgery needed to promote healing, and he does it perfectly. Just an aspect of what happens when we read God's Word. Trusting him to use it. It's one of the reasons I want you to read it better. It's one of the reasons I'm going to read it better next year than I read it now. It's an ongoing investment of cooperation with God as he accomplishes his glorious purposes in us. Okay. So we went backwards, we got to the beginning, to his teachings. How do we apply it? We are called to remember and to believe. And we believe specifically what Jesus is providing, because he's declaring what he's providing. He provides the Spirit. He provides peace. He provides the promise of going so he can return. And he will return. And our hope is anchored in that. These three provisions, the Spirit, the peace, and the promise of his return, are possible and provided by his work on the cross. And the validation of that work in the resurrection. This is the fruit of the good news. So as we get to the end, all of these things end up being the solution to a troubled heart. You have the solution to a troubled heart. And therefore, we have a call to rejoice. Jesus said this to people who had a really bad 48 hours ahead of them. So we can trust him with our next 48 hours. And the 48 hours after that. And the weeks after that. And the years after that. Because promises remain faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can rejoice. We thank you for the amazing capacity that you've given us to remember. It's one of the reasons that when our loved ones fail to be able to remember, it's so sad. Because there's so much value in remembering. So, Father, we thank you for these teachings of Jesus, and we ask that you would show us and teach us and empower us by your Spirit to walk in them. We know that the sword of your Spirit and dependence upon that Spirit, whose sword it is central to walking in this new peace. So, Father, I ask that we would experience a peace that surpasses our circumstances. And we would have hearts that rejoice and you would be glorified in it all. We thank you for this. We lift this prayer with confidence because we lift it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Todd.